Welcome to another edition of Inside. Welcome to another edition of Inside the Football Business with Justin Van Fulpen and Neil Stratton. As we talk about the game of football in regards to outside the lines, a lot of stuff going on. We got the NFL draft here that just kind of got a shake up yesterday with the LA Rams going from 15 to number one. The schedule release show had kind of came out yesterday, so we know who's playing who there in the NFL. So, Neil, how's it going?
It's going great, Jared. Justin, it's good to be here. Glad to talk a little football again this week.
For sure. So, what was your initial thoughts in regards to, hey, the Rams going from 15 to 1 and kind of what they gave up there?
Well, you know, I think this is the kind of trade that really titillates fans and gets people excited. And there are obviously plenty of things to talk about related to this trade. And it is a bold move by the Rams. Obviously they've had kind of a hole at quarterback for a while now. And they now have an opportunity to draft either of the top two guys. And so for that reason, I think it's an exciting move, and obviously it's very aggressive, but I think, I think fans especially think that you can always trade down and get a bundle of picks and go from worst to first, kind of like a la the Herschel Walker deal. Grabbing a bunch of picks doesn't necessarily make you, the next Super Bowl champion. It's kind of all what you do with those picks, and it's not quite as easy as it sounds, A, to make those trades, although obviously the Titans were able to pull it off, and B, to make those trades work, make those picks work for you the way the Rams are going to have to do. I mean, even though the Cowboys made that big deal with the Vikings, for example, and they landed picks that wound up being Emmitt Smith, Darren Woodson, Alvin Harper, Dixon Edwards, those were pretty much the top picks. They got, seven or eight others that kind of wound up being chips in other trades or picks that didn't really work out or whatever. They got such a bonanza that they were able to turn it into something. You know, looking at a more recent deal, the deal that the Redskins made with the Rams for the pick that turned into RG3, they took some solid players. Alec Ogletree, Janoris Jenkins, Michael Brockers, and Greg Robinson is who they netted out of that deal. But they're not – the team hasn't really ignited because of that trade. It didn't turn it into something where – they now have a bunch of superstars, and now they're Super Bowl contenders. You can even call Robinson a bust based on the way he's played over the first few years of his contract. So, the Titans got a nice haul, but now we have to kind of see what they do with it and make sure that they make all those picks really stick and make them into cornerstone players. And obviously every player in the draft isn't a cornerstone. So it's a great move for the Titans, and now they're holding a whole bunch of aces. But now we have to see how they play those aces.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, the trade details are the Rams receive the number one overall pick, a fourth rounder this year, a sixth rounder this year, which is 113 and 177 overall from the Titans. And then the Titans had gotten the 15th overall this year, the 43rd overall this year, the 45th overall this year, the 76th overall this year, and the first and the third from the Rams next year. So the Titans will have two first-round picks there next year. So, definitely in regards to, we'll see what happens. Like you had mentioned and went through all those different scenarios in regards to the Cowboys and what the Rams just had done a couple of years ago in the RG3 trade. We'll see how it all plays out. But I think it was a good overall deal for the LA Rams to go out there to get a quarterback to reignite that market. Does it have to do as much as football as it does to business and selling tickets, getting the fans hyped up in regards to, and again, what quarterback are they going to take? Jared Goff is a Cal guy. Right up the road, per se, from L.A., or a Carson Wentz from North Dakota State, a small school guy. And I think that's the intrigue over the next 2 weeks in regards to when they kind of get on the clock there. And obviously, the Jeff Fisher and Les Snead had played kind of poker yesterday going, hey, we wouldn't have any drama if we came out there and announced it today. We want the networks to have some drama and some stuff to talk about. But one factor that no one has talked about and everything, and I watched a lot of it yesterday, the NFL Network and ESPN there, and Charlie Cassidy kind of came on the NFL Network and said, hey, this is good for, the agent of Wentz and, Goff, and going, hey, they can kind of try to get a deal done with the Rams, and that's what we did when we had Reggie Bush and Mario Williams, and we end up getting, a deal with Mario Williams, and that's why we drafted Mario Williams over Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush was, represented by Joel Siegel. Mario Williams was represented by CAA there at the time. So they had to be able to kind of play with two different agents and kind of figure out the deal here. The interesting fact, again, that no one's talked about is that both the quarterbacks are represented by the same company or the same, group, and that's the Tolners. So it's not like the Rams can go to, the Tolners and say, hey, we, and try to get a deal done there. So I think that's an intrigue, and that's a factor that no one's talking about that. And to me, is that a good thing for either one of those quarterbacks that, in regards to the agent is the same, same guy, basically. The Bruce and Ryan Tolner are representing both, both Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, and those are two guys vying for the number one overall pick. I think it's interesting. Maybe other people don't. Neil, what's your thoughts and on that subject?
Well, I think that it's a huge topic for the people that you and I talk to and the people that you and I work with and live with in the business. And it's an incredibly unusual, as you noted, situation. I can't recall this ever happening, that they would land both Goff and Wentz, two guys that wind up at the top of the draft. And quite frankly, I don't think anyone knew that Wentz would be in the conversation for the top pick in the draft, even as recently as 2 months ago. I think, when in December, January time frame, when all the quarterbacks came out, I think there was discussion that there would be three quarterbacks that may go in the top 10 between Wentz, Goff, and perhaps Paxton Lynch. Now Lynch is really more of a end of first, maybe second round proposition, whereas Wentz was the golden boy probably for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and now it seems like maybe Goff is emerging as a golden boy. I credit Rep 1 Sports, which is both of their agencies, number one, for getting Wentz into that conversation, for really helping him kind of emerge and turn into a guy who, at least for a while, was kind of the it guy. But as far as, I think the pressure is really on Rep 1 now. What do they do? How do they work this? I mean, it's just incredibly unusual. And by the way, Rep 1 had an excellent chance of landing Paxton Lynch as well. He was in their finalists before he eventually signed with Steinberg Sports. So this is really unprecedented. And they have an incredibly delicate balance that they have to walk to make sure that two incredibly talented and incredibly potentially rich players over the next 10 years or so remain on their, their clients and understand that they're working on their behalf, but not pitting one against the other. And I don't envy them. It's certainly a difficult job they have. But the thing about the Tolners, Ryan and Bruce and Chase Callahan, the three agents there, they are really respected. They are really liked by their clients. They're rarely fired. They do good work, and that's why they've gotten this opportunity. And so I guess if there's anyone that can make this happen, it's probably them. So a unique opportunity, unique pressures that they're facing right now, a situation that I can't ever remember. And no one's really talking about it, but it's incredibly rare. And I don't know if it'll ever happen again. I guess one way we'll know, one indication of whether it happens again is how this plays out and where they go. I would presume that one that doesn't get selected first goes in the top two or three picks, then I would guess that both will be happy. But again, being the number one pick is something special and unique, and maybe I don't know either of the young men, but hopefully they both have the kind of egos that if they don't get the number one pick, they'll be able to be happy with that, and they'll be happy where they land. But that'll be one of the very interesting subplots and storylines to follow as we get a little closer to the draft.
Yeah, and I think the standpoint of is obviously, like you said, Rep 1's had success. They had Marcus Mariota last year, and a couple of years ago they had Blake Bortles, so they're used to dealing with top five, type level quarterbacks. And, as far as representing a quarterback is definitely a different animal, and the standpoint of, I don't know, either Wentz or, Carson, his family, Jared Goff or Carson Wentz's, family or anything like that, never spoke with either of them. But, that'd be who I, would wonder in regards to, hey, the player's going to be, fine, in regards to kind of there. But it's going to be those people that are in those guys' ears, their moms, their dads, why are they doing all this work for X, XYZ player and, not you, I could see there being a little bit of, consternation, there and different things like that. And again, and I think it's good for the Rams because, there's no one to, it's bad for the Rams because you're not being able to negotiate anything there. You can't go, hey, Goff's agent, we'll go to Carson's, Wentz's agent and see what type of deal we can get done there because it's going to be okay. Yeah. Hey, this is what we're looking for. And obviously the standpoint of the contracts are very slotted and different things like that, but there is some wiggle room and some different things you can do there, in regards to the marketing standpoint, it's going to be, kind of similar in regards to dollars that they've received already, but and the part and going forward there in regards to where those guys will get drafted there. But I thought it was very interesting, and I just don't know. And Neil, you could talk about this more. Do you think it's a conflict of interest, or do you think, hey, it is what it is?
Boy, that's the question that I regularly get from agents and sometimes even from the parents of players. Is it a contract? I don't know. I guess if my son was Carson Wentz or Jared Goff, I have to seriously consider it. There's only so much that an agent can do to kind of split the baby, so to speak. I mean, there has to be one player that they're really openly advocating for. And I guess if I was the father of Carson Wentz and I felt like he had gotten lost in the shuffle as a result of him working with an agency that also represented a top quarterback, then I'd have to feel like maybe I made a mistake. But then again, I feel like they've done a great job with Wentz. I think Wentz has emerged. I think he's risen. I think he's become bigger in the public eye. As for Jared Goff, it looks like right now the way the tide is turning, perhaps Goff is about to enjoy his 2 weeks in the sun when it matters the most. The one thing that Rep 1 has going for it is that, let's say one gets drafted number one overall and the other one goes third or fourth or something. There's not going to – the picks are slotted, so it's not like one's going to wind up getting a $40,000 signing bonus and the other's going to get a $15 million signing bonus, and then every other agency will get in there and say, hey, look, I could have gotten you so much more money if you would have worked with me because I would have promoted you over him. They're going to, obviously the top picks to get the best contract, but it's not going to be a gargantuan difference between the first and wherever the other one goes, presuming they both go top five. So I don't know quite how to answer that question because it's something I've turned over in my mind. I think if it was me personally, it'd be very hard for me to pull the trigger on an agent that had another quarterback. We don't know what kind of a deal Rep 1 made with the Goff family, with the Wentz family when all this was happening. I certainly don't think that they made a promise that it would only represent one quarterback because it was pretty transparent when all this was happening that, that they were talking to both and they both Goff and Wentz have had plenty of time to make a change had they wanted to, but apparently they've chosen not to. I guess we can presume that they're happy with the deal. But the other consideration and you know this as well, Justin, is just because you're drafted with an agency doesn't mean you sign with it, that you're still that agency when the contract is signed. And, you know, there, I think if I were rep one, I would be really concerned about what happens after the draft if one gets selected first and then one falls. You know, if there's an Aaron Rodgers situation where Alex Smith goes number one in the draft and then Rodgers was the guy in the green room smiling as they continued to ESPN continued to flash pictures of him sitting there by himself, then that could really get awkward. I don't anticipate that happening. But if there is that crazy slide like that, then they may have a little bit of fences to mend. That's all part of the drama of the draft, and that's kind of what makes it fun.
Yeah, I mean, just on a guaranteed money, and I just want to bring this out here. We look at Jameis Winston last year; he had over $25 million guaranteed in his deal. You go all the way down to just to Todd Gurley, and this is in regards to the drop off in regards to what people don't think realize a lot. Todd Gurley, who was the 10th overall pick, his total guaranteed money was $13 million. So that's a $12 million drop off in 10 picks. So, let's just go to Brandon Scharf, the 5th overall pick. So, again, Jameis Winston, over $25 million guaranteed. Brandon Scharf, $21 million guaranteed. Okay, but I said, once you get to – basically, once you get out of the top five, you go from Brandon Scharf, $21 million guaranteed, down to Leonard Williams, the next pick, only $18 million guaranteed. And, again, this is monopoly money that we're talking about here,
right.
But at the end of the day, just on a slide from 1 to 10, you're talking about over $12 million, there. So I think that's
right.
Where, if Jared Goff goes one and Carson Wentz goes two, which, a lot of people are thinking, and hey, if that goes well, there's about $1 million difference between, last year, actually $1.1 million difference in total guaranteed money. So it's not that big a thing. If you see some slides, there could be some issues there. I remember the famous thing, and again, I don't know the pressure. I'm not a father of an NFL quarterback. I'm not a father in it at all. But the standpoint of when I remember watching Ben Roethlisberger's dad and his reaction when Eli Manning went one, and then when Philip Rivers went four, and he throws the water bottle. It was on NFL, films or whatever. And you could understand it was real emotion and different things like that, because his son was sliding down the draft board. And there's a lot of talk, that year of, hey, the San Diego Chargers taking Roethlisberger one. He was kind of that small school Mac quarterback who kind of rizzed to, hey, is he going to be the number one overall pick, And there was three quarterbacks, there. Now, obviously, like you said, Paxton Lynch hasn't become, in that same discussion where, like, that 2004 draft where you had Rivers, Manning, and Roethlisberger. But there was some thoughts there, and obviously, Carson Wentz would be playing the role of Ben Roethlisberger, the small school guy there. So, it's interesting. It's definitely something, I find some intrigue there. And the other thing, people are trying to read the tea leaves and see, hey, who the Rams are going to take. A lot of people say, hey, it's going to be Jared Goff because, they kind of want to sell tickets and kind of it's, hey, he's a Cal guy and he's the most pro-ready because he played in the Pac-12. And other people are looking at, Jeff Fisher's history with a Steve McNair and saying, hey, he likes the small school, quarterbacks there, And again,
right.
I think it's an undue pressure people have put on that I watched, yesterday saying, hey, in regards to, comparing a Carson Wentz to a Steve McNair, because Steve McNair was a guy that everybody knew, he was a guy people were like, who during his senior season, hey, is he going to be a guy who's going to compete for an Heisman at a whole, small school level, there. So, I do think, like you said, Rep 1 has done a great job with Carson Wentz bringing him kind of up there. He didn't even have in the spring, what scouts said is even a draftable grade, in the spring, was more of a priority free agent, and is really seeing his stock really rise and great for him there. So it's an interesting conversation. It's something that people will have over the next 2 weeks as we kind of get down there to the NFL draft there. So
It's kind of funny how it's developed, Justin. One more point to make. I'm sorry. You're right. Wentz obviously wasn't a guy that was looked at as potential number one going into the season. Goff kind of emerged too, and I think even Paxton Lynch was a guy that was kind of off radar screens, wasn't a major player, and then kind of rose. I think that when Rep 1 got its commitment, my understanding is that Rep 1 got its commitment from both Goff and Wentz very early on. And I don't think that Rep 1 ever thought they'd be in a situation where they had two quarterbacks that may be vying for the top overall pick. So anyway, you look at this situation, it's really unique and odd and rare. And so they're, on the one hand, they're in a great situation. On the one hand, it's kind of almost a nightmare scenario. As long as both guys go in the top five, I think everything works out. If they go in the top two, everything works out pretty much perfectly. If one slides, now you've got an issue, and there will be a lot of agents that are going to be coming in on whoever slid and saying, hey, work with us. We'll get you, we'll do better things for you as you go forward. So that's kind of where they are.
Yeah, so it's definitely, interesting there. So it's definitely a lot of, fodder there, especially for your clients there, Neil, and in regards to, hey, how you – kind of manage this situation in regards to recruiting. And obviously recruiting is going to be starting here soon. So, or if it hasn't already with a number of people. And, yesterday we had the schedule where now what kind of everybody knows, where those guys are playing and different things like that. I think the biggest interest, intrigue kind of is that Super Bowl 50 rematch. We get it right off the bat. The last game we saw was the Carolina Panthers versus the Denver Broncos, there for the Super Bowl there in San Francisco, and they kick off the NFL season in regards to the rematch there. I thought the NFL did a great job. It's going to be a lot of intrigue. You're going to see them, the Carolina Panthers are kind of have to go through this, the heart-wrenching twice regards to, here in February and then here come in September where they have to sit there and watch the Denver Broncos, unveil a banner and have, some – pomp and circumstances there, but I think that's a great intrigue, good thing for Thursday kickoff there that the NFL did. Anything else that stood out to you? Obviously, it's early, it's a schedule, but anything else that you were like, oh, hey, that's pretty cool or interesting there?
Well, I think having a Sunday essentially without football is going to be really weird this year. As you know, the Christmas falls on a Sunday this year, so the NFL moved almost all of that week's games to Saturday. So we're going to have a Saturday that looks like a Sunday. I believe there are just two games that night, and which is in a way kind of a dream scenario for the NFL because they're always looking to put games on holidays because what do you want to do when you meet up with the family and everyone kind of sits around? You want to have a game on the TVs kind of, help make things go a little smoother and have something to talk about. So I think that's a benefit. I'll tell you what's also kind of odd. We're going to see two teams that in that opening week that are really a lot different from the teams everyone saw at the Super Bowl. We don't really know who's going to be under center for the Broncos. They've had a few defections on defense that were key players, maybe weren't necessarily superstars and household names, but definitely players that were integral to Wade Phillips' defense. So we could see a very different outcome, despite the fact that it's going to be in Denver, than what we saw at last in the Super Bowl. So that would be kind of an interesting subplot, I guess, for as we check out that opener. Lots of interesting different facets to the game and lots of different things that I think will make the schedule interesting.
Yeah, and then, kind of going to what's going on inside the league, you're bringing out your 2017 profile reports, something you've done for a number of years in regards to examining, going alphabetically in regards to schools and the prospects that they have there. It's something that, maybe people don't know enough about to become subscribers that are agents and that are looking for, ways to get in touch with families and kind of in regards to, hey, what guys that will be, prospects for the 2017, draft there. So, it's something that, like I said, how many years have you done this in regards to a service for your Inside the League subscribers there, Neil?
We started this in 2010, and we wanted to do it in a responsible way that kind of leveled the playing field for agents that are out there and financial planners to some degree. And so we started trying to gather the contact information for parents of players, and we tried to do it a little earlier this year and tried to do it in a little more reliable way. In the past, we just gathered up all the information. We started rolling it out in April, and we go Monday through Friday, one team a day, and we've gotten a little bit behind, but that's partially because we're trying to put out information that's verified this year. So we don't want to put any phone numbers out unless we know they work. In the past, we just kind of threw it all against the wall, and then what stuck and what didn't. But this year, we're trying to make it a little bit more refined and a little bit more reliable. So, you know, when we publish Alabama, we publish Akron, the numbers that we have posted so far we hope are good. We've called them. Today we'll have at least two more schools and perhaps three. And again, we will have the information we have out there will be confirmed. Now the addresses aren't, but the phone numbers are. The idea is a lot of these schools, most of these schools will have agent days sometime this summer, and especially the elite schools, the bigger schools. And that's an opportunity for an agent to come in, meet a player on the school turf, be able to kind of make an introduction and kind of get the ball rolling. Most schools ask agents in that situation, in that circumstance, okay, make your introduction, tell them who you are, tell them what your plan is, and then withdraw and don't talk to them during the season. Well, some agents abide by that, most don't. But at least if they're going to do that, this gives them a way, hopefully, to kind of set the table, maybe establish a firmer foundation before that agent day so that maybe they do have the luxury of pulling back some during the season, allowing the player to breathe, allowing the player to focus on his studies and focus on the field. And that way, maybe it serves the school, the agent, and the family that really needs a substantial representation. The thing that drives me crazy is some of these schools think they're protecting players when they shield them from the agents and what have you. But at the end of the day, especially if you're a family that doesn't really know the process, or if you have a son who's fitting in the latter rounds or maybe is a bubble guy, you need to have that research time. You really need to know these people and what they can do and how they can help you and who they are and their manner and their style and all those things. And it's really important to be able to have that education, but most families are afraid to reach out to agents because they're afraid they'll face penalties or something along those lines, and that's not true. But unfortunately, that's one of the kind of myths and misconceptions we have to work against all the time. So with that in mind, we're working through our profile reports. We'll continue to roll them out throughout the summer, hopefully putting good people together and allowing them to help each other and make the situation a better one.
Yeah, and I think the standpoint of, you know, the school is trying to do what they feel is in the best interest there. The problem with that is that, you know, once those guys are done, is that, you know, the coaches and the football ops people are on to the next year. You know, they might
right.
give some guidance or different things like that, but that's the issue there. And, you know, I understand the schools have their rules, but those bigger firms, you know, they're not following those rules. So it's hard for then the smaller agents to do that. So I think it's a great service that you provide there. It's definitely something that, you know, hey, as we go through the summer, I think, you know, after the draft and different things here, we'll have a lot of, different, you know, probably talks about, hey, the recruiting process and you know, what's good, what's bad, and in regards to help, you know, our listeners, you know, whether they're in the business or not in the business or family members or whoever that they are, to kind of understand more of the, you know, the process, you know, there in regards to recruiting. So, Neil, we've got about 15 seconds here. I just want to kind of wrap up, you know, again. So we got 2 weeks left till the NFL draft, and it's going to be, you know, a great intrigue, as you had made some great points there about the number one overall pick and in regards to that. So appreciate that, Neil, and look forward to talking with you next week.
Absolutely, Justin. Looking forward to it. Talk to you again soon.
Have a good one.
You too.